Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So when we scratch beneath the surface of the and delve into the biographical histories of the most successful, in quote successful, you know, people in business, in music, in sport, and art, we tend to find constant everyday battle, you know, between building confidence and responding and coping to the setbacks that we experience. But you know, it's the response that we adopt, it's the mindset that we adopt to how we choose to respond to the setbacks, which defines and separates actually some of the most talented sportsmen and women, but also most successful and determined sportsmen and women that I've been privileged to work with.
Welcome to the Doctor's Kitchen podcast, the show about food, lifestyle, medicine, and how to improve your health today. My name is Dr. Rupi. I'm a medical doctor. I also study nutrition, and I'm a firm believer in the power of food and lifestyle as medicine. Join me on this podcast where we explore multiple determinants of what allows you to live your best life. And remember, you can sign up to thedoctorskitchen.com for the newsletter where we give weekly recipes plus tips and hacks on how to improve your lifestyle today. My guest is Tom Bates. He's a performance psychologist and a UEFA A licensed coach who's been practicing for 15 years and creating and applying fast, easy, and accessible performance enhancing techniques to elite sportsmen and women based on the science of psychology. His work has extended into other professional sports as well and works with GB athletes like basketball and swimming. He's also due to work with athletes in the postponed 2021 Olympics too. His work is also extended into psychology across business and healthcare, and he uses exercises that are designed to stimulate and inspire thought-provoking leadership skills through focusing exclusively on the management of self. He's currently in the final year of his professional doctorate and is engaged in a study inquiring into the nature of human potential and the causal variables associated with elite sporting performance, i.e. what helps human beings flourish in elite sport. And I think today's podcast is really about what we can learn from elite sportsmen and women, i.e. those who are at the top of their game trying to squeeze out another 1 or 2% of performance, and how can we apply that to our own lives as well. We talk about a lot of different subjects today: self-awareness, perception, being optimistic in the face of negativity, building self-belief and having this bulletproof nature despite the insecurity that surrounds us, and how to be authentic as well. I talk a lot about what things I've tried to conjure over the last couple of years that have allowed me to be successful in certain areas as well, and what skills and practices to foster these features of a positive psychology. So visualization exercises and the law of attraction, I think, are two powerful concepts that Tom Bates is a huge fan of as well. I think you're really going to enjoy this podcast. If you're struggling to maintain motivation or you want to make small steps towards something that could have profound changes to your life going forward, then this podcast is really for you. I highly recommend you check out Tom's socials and links. I've put them on the podcast page myself, and do subscribe to the newsletter. We're going to put loads of this kind of content going out forward. I think it really will help you live healthier, happier lives, as well as the recipes that we put on the newsletter too. So I'm going to stop waffling. This is my conversation with Tom Bates. I really hope you enjoy it. Because I want to talk about a bit about your mission, about how you got started in this, where you're taking it. But why don't we just start, as I'm sure, you know, you've repeated yourself many a time, but like how you got started, what your, you know, what your upbringing was like, just introduce me to you. Because obviously this is the first time we're chatting. So I just want to know a bit more about you, I guess.
Yeah, sure. So I guess if we, let's go freeze frame of where we're at right now. My job is that I'm a professional performance psychologist. I work with Team GB, British Olympic athletes, preparing to go to the games, the 2021 now games in Tokyo, Japan next year. A host of Premier League, Championship, and lower division footballers, teams, coaches, managers. And as we were speaking about previously, that involves quite a lot of travel. So really, I guess it was and is and will be internationally based. So it's a pretty privileged position to be in. I'm an author of the book, The Future Coach. And I speak also at different events and conferences around the world in lots of different countries. So that's a snapshot of right now. And if we go all the way back to the start, I grew up in a little place called Arbury in Cambridge. I'm one of two children, have an older sister. And I fell in love with the game of football, or soccer, as the Americans would say. And I have to be careful.
Way.
Yeah, when I say soccer, this is in Britain, right? We're going to do this in Britain.
Yeah. It's largely British audience.
So good to know. So I can say football. So then fell in love with the game of football and I guess got pretty good at it and was selected to play for the academy at Cambridge United and developed and excelled, but essentially wasn't good enough to break into the first team. And so I, you know, played a little bit of semi-professional football, but continued my education in Cambridge at Long Road and studied PE and psychology. And then it was whilst I was studying PE that I was introduced to sports psychology for the first time. And I was really interested in coaching as well. And so I was searching for courses around the country that could combine coaching and this aspect of psychology to improve mindset, to improve the mental and emotional sides of performance that I was starting to understand became defining factors for players and for teams. And from my own experiences, I was always interested how, you know, I wouldn't say I was naturally blessed with talent, but I would say that I maximized the talent that I had due to the mindset that I adopted and the work rate that I had. And then I would see other players that were really gifted around me, you know, teammates that went on to play first team football, but didn't necessarily maximize that talent because of their attitude. And so that whole aspect of, I wonder if it's possible to improve mindset. I wonder if we can train ourselves to become more confident, to deal with anxiety, to get the very best from ourselves under pressure. Is that possible? So the early curiosity sort of came from my playing days. And then I guess you could say that the passion and intention to coach later on ignited that flame. And I went to Bournemouth. I ended up choosing a course in Bournemouth, which was the only course at the time that combined coaching and psychology. And the course was entitled Sports Psychology and Coaching Sciences. And so in the third year was a placement year. So I went to AFC Bournemouth to apply what I thought that I knew from the textbooks and figured out that actually I didn't know anywhere near as much as I thought I knew. And really that year in industry, in the professional football world, I worked with a guy called Joe Roach, who was the head of youth, and Eddie Howe, who now is the first team manager. So I was around really good people, good football people from an early age. And the green shoots of sports psychology really started there and ended up flourishing into the career that I went on to have and ended up here in the Midlands.
Yeah. There's so many things there that I really want to pick up on. So when you started, I'm assuming, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm assuming that sports psychology really wasn't a thing. It wasn't like, oh, if you change your mindset, you know, you're going to improve or get that extra 5-10% of performance. You know, I'm assuming it was still of the mindset of like, you know, if they've got good legs, if they've got good stamina, if they've got good like strength, then they're going to be a good player. And that's it. And you either got it or you don't. You can work on it strength wise, but mental, not really a thing. So was that something you had to come up against?
Absolutely. In fact, I had to, you know, back then, what is sports psychology? What is it? We don't have one. We've never had one. I've never used one. So why do I need one now? And so I had to work for free for the first 3 months. I got paid as a coach to work in the Centre of Excellence, coaching out on the grass. But I had to work for free to convince and persuade the coaches and the directors of the football club that it was a worthwhile investment. And and absolutely, you're dead right. There was this perception of not only what is it, but then you meet the other side of the challenge, which is you can't be seen to be weak or talk about emotions in football because you can't show weakness, you know. And the ones that actually had some kind of experience of working with a psychologist had different perceptions of what that is, because it's a very global, there are lots of different types of practitioners within, you know, psychology or the work of psychology. So it was a challenge in the early days. And in fact, I say the early days, but I guess it was something that kept coming up in every football club that I worked in. And, you know, you only go and see a psychologist when you have a problem. And so defining that, what it is that I do early, I learned that lesson really early. You know, I'm not a shrink, I'm a stretch. I stretch performance. Come and see me when you want to be the very best you can be. And of course, you know, after a period of time, everybody gets used to that. And then I leave that football club and I have to start again at a new football club. And the process repeats itself, you know. I remember coming to Birmingham City. A funny story, I moved up from AFC Bournemouth and I signed for Birmingham City Football Club. And I'd had the interview with the first team manager and the academy director. And they loved the idea of so I got the job. And so now I'm thinking, fantastic. Now this is a big club. It's a good opportunity. And I come first day at the football club. It's team photograph day. So all of the academy players and the first team, and we all stand together. I'm walking across the indoor dome. And this guy walks across into the middle and greets me. Long grey hair, mustache, you know, elderly guy. He'd been at the club for years, head of recruitment. And he walks over and he says, "Oh, you're the new psychologist, aren't you?" And you know, I'm so happy to be. It's my first day. I'm like, this is fantastic. So I say, "Yeah, how you doing? Yeah, nice to see you." And hold my hand up to shake his hand like this. And I can't actually say exactly what he said on this podcast, but he looked at me and said, "What a load of fill in the blank," you know. And he left me with my hand out like this. And then I thought to myself, this, I might not have convinced everybody here that this is so baptism of fire.
How long were you there at that club for then?
Well, I it was probably about 3.5 years. Yeah, 3 seasons. Okay. With Birmingham, and ended up starting with the academy, but then worked as it became more popular. And, you know, honestly, the players started to talk and say how valuable it was to them and that it was helping them improve their performance. So then the senior players became involved and it became more popular. And of course, I ended up working with the senior players too. And essentially from then, the reason I've moved from so many different football clubs is because, honestly, better offers come in, and I've been privileged to have accepted some fantastic opportunities.
That's amazing. And when it comes to sports psychology, because from my understanding, you know, you started with football. That was like your first love, essentially, and that's where you wanted to see what kind of benefits you can have. And now you stretch out into different sports modalities, GB, swimming, etc. I'm trying to get across to listeners that it's not just about sports performance. I think you're privileged to work with a selection of people that are already motivated enough to reach the top of their game. And to get to the top of their game, they've probably got to have those inherent qualities of drive, of purpose, of mission. So perhaps there are some nuggets of your experience that would be relevant to the person that struggles to start habits or to make those changes consistently throughout their lives, whether it be eating better or perhaps just taking control of stress levels. This is something that, you know, from a purely selfish point of view, I think I'm interested in as well to learn. I'm always learning new little tips and tricks and stuff like that to, you know, from people such as yourself. So what kind of things that have you been able to instill into clubs, into individuals that perhaps other people could learn from?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a really good question. And I think you're absolutely correct when you say that the principles from high performance sport can be applied and learned from across contexts. You know, the things that the athletes are doing every day. In fact, I'll tell you a quick story. There's I was invited to give a talk to the England senior rugby team at Penny Hill Park when Stuart Lancaster was the manager. And it was part of a series of guests that came in to deliver some talks. And I spoke a little bit about mindset and addressed the players and the staff. And just before I came in, Sir Bradley Wiggins also gave a talk to the rugby team. And part of his talk was he told a story, and I'll share it with you now. He said, you know, every day, so this is Sir Bradley Wiggins speaking to the England senior rugby team, male senior side. He says, every day, boys, I go on this ride when I'm not training at the velodrome, and I get to this roundabout on this ride. And when I get to this roundabout, I have two choices. I can go left, and it'll be 6 more miles, 2 more hill climbs, and I'll get back to my house 20 minutes later. If I go straight over, 6 less miles, plateau, and I get back 20 minutes earlier. He says, boys, which one do you think I choose? And the lads obviously said, well, that's easy. You're an Olympic gold champion. You obviously choose to go left. Choose the harder choice. And he says, yeah, that's right, I do. And the rugby lads are like, but what's the point of the story then? And he says, you see, the thing is, I do always choose to go left, but here's the bit that most people don't know. Every single time I get to this roundabout, there's two voices that pop up, one on my left shoulder and one on my right. And the one on the left says, just go straight over. No one's watching. You're the Olympic gold champion. You deserve a break. Put your feet up, have a cup of tea with the missus, get back, relax. And then he says, but the other voice comes in on the right and says, don't you dare, don't you dare even think about it. Now you've won the gold medal, you think you can just relax and take your foot off the gas? You know, and he says, the thing is, boys, what I really want to share with you is that most people think that Olympic gold champions, they perform in the absence of fear or doubt or worry or stress or fill in the negative blank, right? Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Don't worry.
It's one of my Premier League footballers that are trying to call me right now.
Go for it. You can pick it up.
We were just getting to the good part of the story.
I love how this is like to, I got you to record just so it doesn't stop your flow if the internet fails. It's just life. It's just life. It's all good.
Well, people will know this is real. At least they'll know it's real.
Exactly, yeah.
So there you go. So actually, I do really work as what I said I work as. They've just been reintroduced to training, so they're in training now, 4s and 5s for the first
time. Gotcha.
This week, yeah. So in and around some of their team members as they gradual slow return to training. So
amazing.
So Bradley Wiggins. So yeah. So the last part of the story is that he says, you know, boys, every time I get to the roundabout, there's a fight. Most people think that we become the best in the absence of any negativity or any conflict in a conflict. He says that it's not true. It's the opposite. I always feel that feeling. That fight always happens. But I've just learned how to listen to the right voice. Mm. I've just learned how to listen to the right voice. And that's the reason why I love that story is because so many of us can relate to that, right?
Mm.
At some sort of level, whoever we are, wherever we are working, becoming this journey and quest for self-improvement is, as we know, not a linear thing. We don't live in an X-factor culture. You know that graph that just like starts off down here and there's a straight line and here's success up here. It's tempting to think because of, you know, social media and the influences of the media and modern instant gratification and all sorts of societal influences that we can sometimes think that it's very glossy and shiny and nice. You know, I have a 9-year-old daughter and there was a fantastic on a billboard the other day. I saw an advertisement and it said, don't worry if you don't look like the girl on the front of the magazine, because the girl on the front of the magazine doesn't even look like the girl on the front of the magazine.
Yeah, exactly.
And so when we scratch beneath the surface of the and delve into the biographical histories of the most successful, in quote successful, you know, people in business and music and sport and art, we tend to find a constant everyday battle, you know, between building confidence and responding and coping to the setbacks that we experience. But, you know, it's the response that we adopt. It's the mindset that we adopt to how we choose to respond to the setbacks, which defines and separates actually some of the most talented sportsmen and women, but also most successful and determined sportsmen and women that I've been privileged to work with.
I love that story and the context around it, because I think so many people can relate with that. I mean, I personally relate with that on a daily basis. Those two voices, you know, something as trivial as 6:30 in the morning, you're meant to wake up, you're meant to go and do your workout before you start your day. And there's that voice saying, no, I'm too tired. I don't want to get up. I just can't be bothered. I'll do it tomorrow, or I put that off. Or, you know, you're in a work environment and something irritates you, and you can either just throw everything out of the water and just, you know, react in that moment and then it will ruin the rest of your day. Or you can listen to that quieter voice and actually say, just be introspective for a second, listen to your feelings, accept that you're angry, and then move on and actually channel that energy into something that's going to be a lot more productive for you. And I think those binary choices, it's quite a nice way of thinking about it. And I just wonder if there are like perhaps ways in which you've been able to conjure a bit more of that mindset, maybe, you know, some things that you practice on a daily basis. I know I certainly have a few things that I've shared in the past with the community and stuff, but perhaps things that you do in your personal life and things that you've noticed that have worked for even the most motivated of people.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's a few things. I always remember discovering how important it is to start and end the day in a particular way. And I learned that lesson through working with an international footballer client of mine. His name is Sam Vokes. He plays for Wales and it has had a career in the Premier League. But we met at Bournemouth and he was 17 years of age. Again, forgive the football story.
I mean, I love talking about football, so.
Yeah, good stuff. We'd be in trouble if you didn't. I met Sam when he was 17, and he was selected by the first team manager at the time, Kevin Bond, to play in the first team after they had a series of injuries. And Sam had only played a few games in the reserves. So he called me up and said, Tom, I've been selected to play in Saturday's game for the first team. I've only played 3 games in the reserves. I don't know if I'm ready. You know, he was nervous.
Yeah.
I said, I'll tell you what, let's get together. Consequently, I finished that conversation with Sam, and then the manager of Bournemouth called me and he said, Tom, I know you've been working with Sam. I'm a little bit concerned. I'm thinking of putting him in the team. Is he ready? I said, Gaffer, no problems. He's fully ready to go. He's super confident. Just give him the chance and he'll do the rest. So he said, great, thanks. I'll see you tomorrow. So I met with Sam. And, you know, I asked him to think about something that is true and powerful for him. Something about himself that's true, that he believes in. And that is a powerful thing to think about. And he came up with the phrase, anything is possible when I truly believe in myself. Anything is possible when I truly believe in myself. And I asked him to put that phrase that he came up with up on his bedside wall by his bedside cabinet. So every time in the morning he woke up, it would be the first thing that he saw. And I asked him to read it 3 times and, you know, spend the time absorbing what it meant. Last thing at night, he would read it 3 times before he went to bed. So it was the first thing that he saw in the morning and the last thing he saw before he went to bed. Long story short, he played in that game. He scored in that game. The affirmation wasn't the reason why he scored in the game, of course, but it absolutely had an impact on his attitude and mindset going into the game. So it went from negative to positive. He shifted because what we focus on, we feel. So starting the day, creating the mood, that's the key thing. We are the creators of our emotional states. If we're not the creators, we end up being the consequence. In other words, we're going to respond to events that happen in the day, right? And there's going to be some bumps in the road. We all get bumped along the way.
Yeah.
But critically, starting the day with something very powerful, very positive and true. And, you know, when he was doing this exercise, he said to me, after a while, I started to see myself scoring goals from all different sorts of areas on the pitch, not because he was watching a video, but because he was really absorbed and immersed in this exercise and feeding from that positive energy. And, you know, he ended up getting sold for £250,000 to Wolverhampton the season later, had a career in the Premier League. And around 8 months ago, he sent me a picture on WhatsApp of this brown, old, crumpled piece of paper that had been framed from about 12, 13, 14 years ago.
No way.
And he has it up on his mantelpiece now in his mansion because he's a Premier League footballer.
Yeah.
Millions, you know. So, you know, he still uses it to this day, that exercise, as a reminder of how important we can train ourselves. You know, Dr. Wayne Dyer, one of my favorites, he says, when we change the way we look at things, the things we look at change. When we change the way we look at things, the things that we look at change. You see, what we focus on, we feel. But the other thing is, what we focus on, we tend to get more of. Right? So if I start my day like Sam did with something that is powerfully empowering for me, to focus my thinking on some internal resource that's inside me, then that's very different from getting up and thinking about how it's another grey and drizzly wet day in Birmingham.
Yeah,
a lot of days like that in Birmingham, by the way. You see, so I would say to everybody who just wants something very simple to pick up and use straight away, affirmations, written affirmations. Quotes, phrases, not just wallflowers. I'm not just talking about buying something that, you know, sounds quite cool. I'm talking about actually doing the internal work and finding something inside which is true for you. Because, you know, Nietzsche teaches us, doesn't he? And all of the, you know, philosophers, the great philosophers of the past, if you have a strong enough why, you can endure almost anyhow. He who has a strong enough why can endure almost anyhow. If we're able to focus on purpose, on the meaning, on the reason why we are doing what we do. Now, you know, when I listen to you at the start of this conversation, I've got so much admiration for you and respect and gratitude for doing what you do. And I've got to praise you because that is such a powerful reason why. I mean, it's incredible. And that's why I'm privileged to be speaking with you too.
I appreciate that, Tom. No, that's really, really kind of you. And there's so many things that resonate with me so much there, like the affirmations, the mantras in the morning. And one thing you said there, I just wanted to repeat for listeners is that you are the creator of your own emotional state. And I think just that realization gives so much more control. Just the psychology around that just gives you so much more control of how powerful controlling your emotions can be. You put a whole bunch of quotes on your Instagram as well that I like trawl through as well, and I love picking up on them. And I'll snap them. But I think the other thing, and it pertains to the story that you just told, is rather than just getting anyone else's quote, anyone else's mantra, really try and personalize it for yourself. Do that body of work, whether it's, you know, half an hour or an hour. Really think about how do you want, what does a perfect day start feel like to you? And I mean, I have my mantra. I've been doing it now for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. And it's in the morning, it's the world is beautiful. The environment is incredible and I'm loved, and that's it. And I start every single day, and I write it down. I started doing this a year ago with my left hand, writing down my left hand, because it takes a lot more energy and focus to write with your non-dominant hand. So you have to really think, okay, how do I do this? And then you read it and you're like, okay. So it forced me to stop, because otherwise you do your dominant hand, you're like, oh yeah, whatever. All right, start the day. And then my gratitude practice as well. I was practicing, I still do think of three things every single day. The end of my day was positive. It could be the fact that it started off gray this morning and now it's beautifully sunny. I got a whole bunch of food sent to me today from a company I'm collaborating with. And I'm going to speak to my parents a bit later as well. You know, those little things that otherwise you don't recognize just how lucky we are. We won the lottery here. We are so privileged in our world to, you know, to have all these opportunities. So I really love that. And the fact that it can relate to a Premiership footballer who seems like so far removed from perhaps some of the listeners, you know, listening right now. I think that's so wonderful. That's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the reason why I love what you're doing, and I've listened into a few of your shows and podcasts, and obviously, of course, follow you on Instagram as well, is this idea that there's that phrase, you are what you eat. Mm. And I love that. And I've used that previously to, and actually it's a bit out of context, doesn't quite fit, but it's not about food, but it's also about the influences that we surround ourselves with, the people around us who we choose to associate with. You know, social psychology suggests that you start to think after a period of about 30 days, you start to think and behave. If you spend enough time around a certain number of people regularly enough, you start to think and behave in the ways that they do. So, you know, we pick up on mannerisms, and, you know, when you study the whole social psychology of this, it also extends itself into beliefs, internal beliefs, and of course, mindset and perspective and perceptions. So if I'm teaming up with you and I'm working alongside you and you're practicing gratitude, then soon enough, I'm going to also get involved in some of that and take that habit on, right? And start thinking new and positive ways. So something that I would really encourage everybody listening to do is think about who is your energy team? Who inspires you? Who uplifts you? Who have the most positive impact on you in your life right now? And there'll be some people out there that, you know, are energy vampires, energy sappers. You know, I asked a client the other day, have you got anyone that, you know, is taking your energy at the minute? They went, yep, I didn't even finish the question. They were like, yeah. And they're exactly... But like sometimes they go, so what you're telling me is I've just got to cut that person out, right? I've just got to cut them out. But they say, I can't do that. I can't cut them out. I have to be in the office with them, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, well, if you can't change something, change the way you think about it. Change something, change the way we think about it. And of course, we're always in control to change the way that we think. And if we change the way we think, then we can change the way that we feel. Because the emotional states that we create for ourselves end up defining, in a sporting context, performance, but in a, you know, in a life perspective, most of, if not all, of the defining behaviors that in work, you know, in leisure, with our family members. And so that's a really simple thing to do when we think about it like that. Who tops up the energy tank for me? Yeah. What are the things that I do that give me energy, that I love doing? Yeah. You know, when I'm kind to myself, I really love to play golf and go for a run. And I know that if I haven't done those things for a long enough period of time, I start to get, you know, cramped up, a little bit tense. My mood changes. So that's another thing to do. What do you do? What do you love doing? Mm-hmm. And can you do more of that?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, there's so many things that I've, over the last couple of years, and this is me personally, have realized that I absolutely love doing. One of the things is meditation, for sure. But the other thing is just taking myself outside of an environment, even if it is for 5 or 10 minutes. So I started doing this thing because I don't have time for a bath. I love baths, but I don't have time for baths. And in the morning when you're going to work, or even if you just come back from work, it's quite hard sometimes for people to even get that 10-minute break where they can do a full meditation. And so I started doing this thing where in the shower, I would literally just put a little bit of essential oil, whether it be lavender, whether it be, I don't know, one of the Lang Lang or something like that, and just put it in the shower. And it's just, whilst the shower is just running for about 6 seconds, just breathe through my nose. And that is just like my version of a meditation. And honestly, it instantly reduces my stress levels. And even if you can just do that as a habit, 60 seconds every single day, it's incredible the benefits that can happen over an extended period of time. And to your point that you were making about earlier about, you know, if you can't change the external factors around you, like your boss or the people you work with, or, you know, your current environment, the one thing you do have the ability to change is your perception. It's your perception of the environment around you. And it's not something you can just click and then flip, you know, oh, suddenly I'm happy. And I think that would be the skeptical remark in myself that I would say, you know, you can't trivialize things. You can't just rationalize these things. It just takes practice. It takes so much practice to get that perception. And so when you're working with footballers to try and get them to change their mindset, I can imagine you must have come up against a few brick walls along the way, right? How did you overcome those?
Yeah, most definitely. So, you know, when I start to, in a football club, probably if I was to, this is definitely live, you can hear the siren.
Yeah.
normally 30% of the players buy in straight away. Yeah. 30% are like, you know, I'm not really buying in, but I'm definitely not opting out. I'm not sure. So I'm open. Well, let's try it. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
And then 30% are like, definitely not for me. No thanks. But I'm just going to keep an eye on what you're doing anyway, just in case. Right? So you know, there's all sorts of different barriers. But normally, you know, the great thing about what we just said is you have the power to reframe, to change your perception, to create a different outlook, to think about something in a different way. And if we do that enough and we reinforce it enough, it becomes a different story. We start to see different things. So if you can't change your boss and you have to work with them, well, you can't change that. But what you can do is think about what can I learn from this situation right now? So the question, we can change our lives by asking ourselves better questions. What's the great thing about this situation? Well, there's no great things, Tom. I'm continually frustrated by this man or this woman who's my boss, and they do not understand me, and they will not give me, I don't know, the breaks that I need, and they just don't listen to me. They just don't, whatever, fill in the blank, right? Great stuff. So why is that such a great thing for you? Well, what do you mean? It's not a great thing. You're not listening to what I'm saying. It's a terrible thing. My boss is awful. And I will come back and continue to challenge until somebody finds something. If I had £1 million right now and I was going to offer you this £1 million to find one good thing about the situation, I'm pretty sure you'd find one good thing to get this £1 million, right? And obviously it's just a little bit of a game. You get to I get to break down these barriers in fun ways. But I think the key thing is here is that we can always choose to look at things in a different way. And as you said, if we do that regularly enough, the picture changes. And we create different outcomes for ourselves. It might be that, you know, I am learning how to be patient. I'm learning patience. Or here's a classic one, right? I used to do a lot of work outside of sport, and I'd have clients that come to me and say, he made me angry when he said, or she upset me when she did, or, you know, they really made me annoyed. And if we study the sort of the structure of that sentence, if we dig deeper, what you find in that phrase is somebody who is giving away their emotional power to something or someone external to them. Mm. The truth is nothing, and this is a tough one, by the way, for anybody listening, this is definitely not click your fingers, tomorrow you're a changed person. This is the constant everyday practice of thinking and working, doing the eternal work. Nothing outside of us, no one or no thing, has the power to change our emotional state unless we choose to give it power over us through the way that we think. And that's a pretty powerful thing to reflect on and consider. You know, my boss can call me all of the names under the sun. He doesn't give me the opportunities. There's a great book called What You Think of Me is None of My Business. It's one of the best titles. What You Think of Me is None of My Business. I forget the author, but I love the title of the book because the author understands the concept very well.
Yes.
In quite a humorous way. No one or no thing can control our emotional states unless we give it the power to do so through the way that we think. And I never have to own it. I never have to own somebody else's behavior or something that happens or a past experience. Sometimes it's something that's happened in the past, right? And we just, somewhere in the subconscious, it's buried in there and we keep going back to it. And it's difficult for us to get over. And we keep going back. So we have to do that. I keep saying this internal work, this process of understanding ourselves, understanding what has blocked us in the past. Sometimes we have to forgive ourselves for mistakes that we've made. Sometimes we have to go back and reflect on some of the painful things that have happened in order to really learn the lessons that were intended from those experiences. And that is, it's a difficult thing because it takes a certain amount of vulnerability. Right?
Yeah.
We said at the start of this call that this isn't a quick fix. Success doesn't happen overnight. And along the way, there's lots of different setbacks and bumps in the road. And that's the same internally. We have to be vulnerable enough. But actually, to be vulnerable is the greatest form of courage of all, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, as I've learned a lot more through my clinical experience, so I've been in medicine now. I've been a doctor for over 10 years, which in the grand scheme of things is a very short amount of time, considering my senior colleagues. And when I first went to medical school over 15 years ago, I didn't think I would have thought about the emotional journeys of patients from birth to adulthood as having that much of an impact on the physical manifestations of illness. But and physical manifestations aside, it certainly has a huge, huge impact on the emotional development of people, which can lead to holding on to negative energy and allowing exactly what you were saying at the start of people being able to be influenced by other people's reactions and other people's words or other people's opinions. And as soon as you not only listen to and appreciate that other people don't have the power to affect your emotional state unless you give them power to do so, and you start practicing that on a daily basis, it's incredibly liberating. And for me, you know, I'm still practicing every single day. It's a constant process. And I think with social media, I think it's like a mirror. It's a magnifying glass. It accentuates that vulnerability for certain people, which is why it's a really, really difficult tool to use for some people, and it can be very negative, I find. And I've certainly been on the receiving end of negative energy, and it's really affected me in a way. It's like, you know, why does that person think that of me? You know, and as a people pleaser, typical people pleaser, it's something I've had to work through and continue to work through. But I think just the knowledge that you have the ability to change your emotional state yourselves by training your own sort of filters, I think that's incredibly powerful and liberating, as I said. Yeah.
Absolutely. I can completely relate to that. And I love what you just said, because when I was out in Chicago speaking at a convention 2 years ago, maybe, the hosts, they introduced me, they gave me this great big long biography, and there was about 600 people in the room, and they called me an expert. And I just immediately that's the wrong
tell
word
me about it.
do not whatever you do. So I just said, I'm really sorry, but my opening line to the audience was, I'm not an expert. If you're here to listen to me as an expert, we're all in big trouble, because I am learning so much and I've got so much to learn. So I love what you just said, because I'm right in that boat with you. This internal work is an everyday thing. It's an everyday thing. So I love what you just said. Yeah,
I think, you know, particularly coming out of this this lockdown, a lot of people are going to be insecure, and I think there's going to be a lot of it's going to be a difficult time for the next few months at least. I'm wondering if you have any sort of like some words that could help manifest like a bulletproof nature, something that, like, you know, every elite sports person aims to achieve, you know, particularly, you know, in football, with all the negative comments that you get from the press and the fans and, you know, all the attention. I mean, it must be so, so heavy to hear, like such a weight of responsibility. How do you teach them, and what can we learn from that experience of elite professionals that can help us through this period going forward and beyond?
Yeah, no, it's a really good question. Think straight away. And I did this yesterday with a client. It's such a simple exercise. If we were to imagine ourselves with little weights attached to us on a string, right? And there are certain influences or things that weigh us down. And we know what they would be if we were to think about those. And for example, social media is generally increasingly, I mean, there's a lot of great stuff, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of great stuff, and if we use it in the right way, there's some great sources of inspiration. I'm not putting it down. It's the reason how we found each other, one of the reasons that we found each other. So there's a lot of great things about it. I think generally there's also big dangers associated with comparing ourselves to other people's filtered perfect lives, which actually don't exist. This constant stream of instant gratification, this constant searching, being glued to a device, first of all, for so long, psychologically, physically, is absolutely not healthy if it's an extended period of time. So if I was imagining one of the weights being social media, then metaphorically, can I just take the scissors and just snip it off? And all of a sudden, I become a little bit lighter. And so we did that in an exercise yesterday. And because of that, there were some really good, detailed, specific actions, you know, the physical changes that we can create in our lives immediately. The one thing I would say about coming out of this this phase of in all of our lives is that we come back to asking ourselves better questions. What have we had the opportunity to do in this period of time? For me, as a father, I've spent some great time telling my kids stories about growing up, friends and family members, checking in on FaceTime and connecting more and communicating more with people, even speaking to the neighbors. I've washed my own car for the first time in, like, I don't know, however many years. But even the act of just washing the car and seeing the neighbors out in the front drive and having a chat with them,
You see, where did that go? We kind of lost all of that because life is so fast and so busy. We get into this business of constantly striving and never arriving, constantly striving, never arriving. It's like this hamster wheel that we're on. It goes round and round and round and we never really arrive. So one thing I would love for other people to consider is there's a DVD called The Shift. There's a book called The Shift by Dr. Wayne Dyer. Mm-hmm. From Ambition to Meaning. The Shift by Dr. Wayne Dyer, From Ambition to Meaning. And that's what I really think personally I've had the opportunity to do, reflect on not just the professional ambitions or academic ambitions that I have, you know, but also to think about, am I living my life on purpose? Am I living a life helping other people to improve the quality of their lives? I can't think of I can't think of a greater joy than to be able to. It's why I'm so alive in this podcast with you, because we're aligned. We share that energy. We plug in and there's an amplification of energy going on. You know, I'm plugged into you, you're plugged into me. And out of that, something is growing. There's an energy here. And that's a real energy. I hope anybody listening to this can pick up on that too. And I'd ask them to think about, you know, who are the people that you plug into that amplify your energy? Can you find a playlist? What's the music? Can you go to the place that you love to go to? Can you do some of the things that you love to go to? And, you know, if people are listening going, well, that doesn't really address the question of what about you just said about being insecure when we come out of this? And there are some real challenges, financial challenges, economic challenges, of course, health-driven challenges. I'm not pretending for one minute that those aren't real challenges at all. I'm saying that we have the power inside of us, each and every one of us, to respond and be a better version of ourselves than we were before because of this situation. Is that even possible? Oh, can we be even better versions of ourselves after this? And of course, you know, I love to see you smiling. You know, the answer is yes.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. I mean, I think like when you speak to people who have faced adversity and been able to come out of that, you know, and it doesn't have to be a huge life-changing event. I mean, my personal event was when I was ill 10 years ago and I had atrial fibrillation and I felt vulnerable and I knew what it was like to be a patient and I was able to overcome that. That led to everything that I'm doing right now. The very inception of this podcast is because of that point where I felt so low and so vulnerable in myself and so scared and embarrassed, actually, that as a 24-year-old, I had an illness and I was quote-unquote healthy. You know, that's just like an example of how we can grow from adversity. And I think one of the best things I've come across in terms of your work on YouTube and stuff is your TED Talk in Bournemouth. And that energy that you just displayed there, that sort of, that knowledge base as well, that excitement really comes through in the visualization exercise that you lead this whole audience. And I encourage everyone to go and watch it and listen to it and do the exercise as well. We get everyone to stand up and you talk them through everything, because I think that's such a powerful tool. And we can all do that. I've done visualization exercises over the last couple of years myself, probably not as often as I should do. But every time I do it, I just feel refreshed. I feel like, yes, I can do it. And I think if anyone is feeling insecure out there and they do that visualization exercise, like, what do you actually want to feel like? It may in some ways over time manifest itself. And I'm a firm believer in that, you know, whether you call it the law of attraction or, you know, whatever it is, I really think that people can benefit from those things.
Absolutely. Sure. Absolutely. 100%. You know, this, when we talk about this thinking or thoughts, we're actually speaking at a metaphysical level. Scientifically, now the research is so well corroborated that it undisputedly proves that thoughts contain energy. Every thought that we have contains energy. If we think about stress, for example, where does that come from? You know, the definition is a perceived inability to respond. The underlying part in that definition is perceived perception. Perception, that is a thought which causes my shoulders to feel cramped, and that's thought energy. So imagine if we are able to reverse that and think about the things, you said it earlier, the things I feel grateful to have. Gratitude, that power of gratitude in energy terms is incredible for creating a life, a happier, healthier life. And it doesn't cost any money. We don't have to download any apps. We don't have to follow a certain program to do this. Yeah. You can do it right now. Right now, we can just get thankful for the things. Make a list, you know, 3 things, 5 things, 10 things you're grateful for. Simple. The answers, Rupi, are basically so fundamentally simple. Mm. And one of the problems is that we're looking for complex ways to be happy. And we're being programmed all the time about what to buy in order to be back into striving. How do I become, well, if I get this product, you know, then I'll definitely get these abs done that I've been, you know, the gym program's been telling me, which costs £400 a month. I'll get them. I'll get them. You know, actually, you know, there's other ways. Yeah. So, but, you know, I think that's a big thing, thinking simply, thinking clearly, to refine the way, that's a good word perhaps, to refine the way that we think about ourselves. There's a great quote by Henry Ford. It says, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you'll be right. Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you'll be right. So that must be true then.
Yeah, yeah, I see. Yeah, I want that to sit with people for sure. That's, yeah, that I think sums up our entire conversation right there. Tom, honestly, it's been a pleasure chatting to you. This has been really insightful for me. It's kind of reignited an excitement for me doing a lot more sort of internal work, being a lot more present with my thoughts, I think, for sure. And I think it's definitely going to help a lot of people. You're involved in a couple of projects, so the GB 2021, if it's going to be 2021, and obviously the Premiership footballers that keep on calling you during this podcast. It's just good to see you in demand. what are your future ambitions? Turning the lens on you now, what are your future ambitions going forward over the next like year or a couple of years, 5 years?
This is going to be a very deep philosophical way to end this, but I'll try to.
No, go for it. Go as deep as you like.
Yeah. Okay. So what I've started to realize as I've come out of this phase of striving to live on purpose, to live with meaning, is that things, people, opportunities, projects that I would never have possibly conceived of before or even imagined find me. It's almost like as a result of working on myself, opportunities are coming out of nowhere. Opportunities to travel internationally, to work in education, to work in business, to work across contexts in lots of different disciplines. Healthcare, I was invited over to Dubai and recently. But so what I'm saying is, and all I can say is, the more I work on myself and get my energy right, the more these opportunities to have a greater influence in people's lives tend to present themselves. I mean, that sounds very, very abstract and very sort of wishy-washy. But so I'm completing my professional doctorate. I'm in the last year of that. I would really, my marker of success, Rupi, is others that I work with succeeding. I really, really, really am passionate about seeing them succeed in what they do. And so for all of the sportsmen and women, for all the businesses, for all the schools and children and teachers and parents and everybody that I'm associated to, I really feed from their success. And it's a funny thing, isn't it? It's become less about me and more about the joy that I get in seeing others succeed. And what about you? What does the next 12 months look like?
I just want to echo that, actually, mate, because I think the more over the last few years, and it's never, like you said at the start, it's never been that trajectory. It's always been like you go down, you go up, you go down and up, but you trend towards where you kind of want to go. And you just need to be able to celebrate the wins and not read too much into the lows or the knocks. I get a little bit nervous, or I don't take compliments very well, and that's why I don't really tend to celebrate my successes perhaps as much as I should. And that's been a criticism of a few of my mates as well, like, you know, you need to stop being so hard on yourself. And I think we're all really hard on ourselves these days. You know, we don't really appreciate just how lucky we are, or what we've done, or whatever. But the more I work on myself, yes, I think the better outcomes I get. And the more authentic you are with yourself in terms of, you know, your genuine passion, where that comes from. For you, you know, your metric is performance of someone else. And for me, I tell you, someone was asking me this, actually, a good friend of mine, just yesterday. It was like, what actually makes you tick? And I was like, honestly, when I see someone has made one of my recipes and they enjoyed it, that for me makes everything worthwhile. Honestly, it just lights up my day so much that someone's tagged me in a picture or just said, this is great, or like, got this book the other day and this is all right. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, honestly, it lights up my whole day. And if I could just do more of that, that would be wonderful. But the bigger vision, I guess, and it's why, you know, I started the nonprofit with Culinary Medicine to try and teach doctors how to, you know, utilize nutrition a lot better in medicine. For me, it's, you know, to help people eat doctor's kitchen meals every day with the view of helping everyone live healthier, happier lives and trying to eradicate the conditions that are in a large part preventable, which dominates the current healthcare landscape. And it's just, for me, it just seems really inequitable and really unfair that we should be living in this time with such technology and so much, you know, wealth, that we shouldn't have these conditions. So yeah, it's around that, in education and working on myself, obviously.
It's amazing. I knew we were aligned. We had to do this.
Yeah, definitely. This has been a bit of a session for myself, if I'm honest, Tom.
Well, you know, the thing is, it seems quite selfless of me to come on here with you, but I knew that you were inspiring, and so I knew that I'd be uplifted and inspired myself through doing this with you. That's what we're doing, you see. This is the art. This is actual evidence of practicing what we're talking about. We're doing that which we're asking other people to think about right now. I'm definitely amplified by your energy. It's been a great pleasure to be with you here.
Remember, you can find my guest, Tom Bates, on the podcast show notes at thedoctorskitchen.com. Whilst you're there, do subscribe to the newsletter. To summarize our conversation, we talked about self-awareness, perception, being optimistic, and building belief in that bulletproof nature despite insecurity and negativity around you, as well as how to conjure being your authentic self. And that is very individual for everyone. Creating mantras that are for you, creating quotes that are personalized to you. I think these things, even though they might sound a bit woo and a bit silly, actually do have tangible benefits down the line. So practice visualization. It's one of the best things that I've ever done. And really engage in that law of attraction. It really does help you achieve whatever your goals are, however little or however big and unrealistic. Just practice it and you'll be amazed to see what can actually happen. It really is the secret, for want of a better word. Make sure you check out my guest on the podcast show notes, and I will catch you here next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.